Listen and stream the all-new talk radio Freedom 106.5 for the only talk that matter.
Good afternoon, Trinidad and Tobago, 35 after 4 o'clock. I want to welcome with me Jude Rogers on Freedom 106.5 FM at this time. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Davey. Good afternoon to our loyal listeners this afternoon and to the wider public, Trinidad and Tobago. It's a pleasure to be here with you this afternoon.
Jude. Sad news looming over Trinidad and Tobago at this time with the death of a 42-year-old woman and her 8-year-old daughter. They didn't die in an accident.
Yeah.
They weren't shot to death, but they perished. By what we spoke about weeks ago, the statistics don't lie, a house fire.
Yes, DV, and sadly, first of all, let me offer condolences to the family and those persons within the community, within the Queenam and the Sapara community.
Mm-hmm.
Not only them, just earlier on, there was an elderly gentleman that lost his life as a result of a fire. Prior to that, there were other families that lost their lives as a result of fire. So we recognize that this is an existing issue that is plaguing our country as well.
Were these bodies burned beyond recognition, or was it a situation where they will have a problem? Because I know once it's a fire, I feel not being able to open a casket and really see their loved one before, it's be kind of tough. It's even worse now, boy. So you have any insight as to, you know, was it as, you know, what happened with them, or what do you know? Can you share with us?
Right. So in terms of this investigation is ongoing. So I would be limited this afternoon in terms of being able to go into any details as to what has happened with this particular case. But what I would do is to paint scenarios for you as to how fire would start, how a person would need to be able to respond in the event of an emergency, and how soon before you need to start. It seems of a particular call or a particular situation is something that is still under investigation, and so we have to treat with that from a legal standpoint as well, Davey. But definitely at the end of this program, we would have a better understanding as to how we can avoid such a situation occurring or taking place within our own home.
One of the things I want us to start off with, as you mentioned, that I'm looking at the house, a little picture of it here, and, you know, we can see that this house would have had some sort of burglar proofing as well. And I remember we promised our listeners that we will touch on it in terms of the safety and security of burglar proof, you know, because it has proven to be a death sentence for persons by fire already. So I don't know if you want to shed some light on that as we move forward in the program this afternoon.
Yes, definitely. So listeners, one of the key things that we have as a challenge in this modern age that we live in is the whole issue of security while we're at home, while we're at work, wherever we may be. And that has caused us as a society to have to install burglar proofing in our homes, in our businesses, and wherever we have to exist, we have to take the crime factor into consideration. But that has an impact upon the quality of life that we can now live. So what the fire service has been saying, what the fire service has been endorsing, what the fire service has been doing is raising the issue of having burglar proof that has fire escape capabilities or a fire escape hatch within the burglar proofing. And the recommendation, and I will tell you how far we've gone with it, we would have gone together with the Trinidad and Tobago Bureau of Standards. And we would have developed together with them and the small building codes for Trinidad and Tobago through the Tongan Country Division.
Mm-hmm.
We would have made a recommendation which was adopted and accepted. All these three bodies came together to make this recommendation. And now we have a policy that has been put forward to the nation. And this occurred more than 3 years ago because we recognized the issue, you know, that stemmed from situations such as the one in Maraval where the three children would have died. We looked at the anatomy of the fire. We looked at how those children were trapped in the home and leaving children home unattended and all of those different challenges and what challenges it presents to an individual who is trying to evacuate their own home. The fact of the matter, Davey, when a fire occurs, most time I told you, Davey, a fire normally occurs in the dead of night while you are asleep. A fire normally doesn't come 3 o'clock in the evening, 4:30 in the evening while you're on the evening drive. No. 2 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., in the wee hours of the morning, for some reason, that is the time when these types of situations occur. The statistics have shown us that. And what happens is persons awake from sleep, and sometimes you are a bit disoriented, you are in the dark, and then you are overcome by smoke. So Trinidad and Tobago, the number one killer, or the thing that causes our demise in a fire, is not the actual flames that burn you, but the smoke that you are unable to breathe is what will cause you to go unconscious. So that is the mechanism that normally when you hear someone has died by a fire, it is normally the smoke. And so what we need to do is we must respond effectively. And the only way to do that, there's a plan that we have. We say plan, prepare, and practice your escape. We have been promoting this in the fire service through the fire prevention department for quite a number of years. Plan your evacuation before a fire occurs. Prepare yourself to be able to access your keys, to be able to access all of the things that are necessary. It should not be on a very large bunch, DV, so that when you come with a bunch of keys and you are trying to unlock a burglar proofing. Also, you must plan, prepare, and you must practice with your children, with your loved one, with your family members, with the disabled, with the elderly, with those who maybe have hearing impairment. We cannot leave out persons who may be differently abled. And a lot of us forget those type of citizens, our elderly folks. We must practice our escape with them. So the acronym or the thing that we want people to plan your evacuation procedure. Know your way in. Have two ways in and out of the building. Practice. Prepare. Prepare your plan. Have your keys ready. Have it in an area where the bandit can't get it, but you could unlock the door. Mm. You can unlock the window. And of course, practice to leave in an orderly manner, leaving everything behind, Davy, flee for your life, and go to your muster point. And that is how you will escape from a fire. That is one method of doing it. We have other ways that we'll discuss as we go along.
You know, when I think about this thing, right, should one attempt at any point in time when a fire occurs in the house to at least try to extinguish that flame? Or do you think
it is
more...
Very good question. Now, ladies and gentlemen, our homes, we have worked hard to build our homes. Most homes nowadays is over $500,000 of investment that you put in your hard work and your labor. Would you leave that to chance? The fact of the matter is no. So we know there is the unguarded moment. So what we do, Davy, we ask citizens, put a smoke detector in each bedroom, have it installed. The comparison of the cost of a smoke detector in relation to the cost of your home is a small figure. Now, at the end of the day, we have to give ourselves a fighting chance to get out safely. But I also want to try to protect my home. So in other words, I would want to purchase a fire extinguisher and have it located either near my exit, whether it's the kitchen door exit or the front door exit, because you always put your fire extinguisher in a safe zone so that you can take it and go to the risk to extinguish the fire. So Davy, if you, and I'm going to give you the methodology and the rule of thumb when it comes to whether you should fight a fire or you should flight, which is to leave your home immediately. First of all, you must have a proper working fire extinguisher installed in your home. At dry chemical powder fire extinguisher, at least one. Once you have that and that has been properly serviced and is serviceable, it's been tagged out and is working, you then determine the location of the fire. If the fire has already reached the ceiling, if the flames have already reached the ceiling, the rule of thumb coming from your Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service is to evacuate and do not attempt to extinguish the fire. Why is that, Davy? If the flames have already reached your ceiling, what is the reason why the fire service is saying evacuate, do not attempt to fight the fire? Why are we saying that?
Well, I would imagine at that stage, it would have burned through a lot and towering over you. And you with your inexperienced self would not, I guess.
Correct. So what when a fire reaches the ceiling, it now compromises what is over your head.
Mm-hmm.
So if the ceiling were to collapse on you, you would have no chance of escaping. Not so, David?
That's correct.
So therefore, we don't want you to take that risk if the fire has already reached as high as your ceiling. Because the signs of collapse, you will not know. Fire officers are trained to know the signs of collapse, so they will know when a building is going to collapse. But the normal layperson does not know that, and we're not going to put them at that risk. So we're going to say evacuate. If the fire is in what we call the incipient stage, which most fires start in a very small manner, it is still confined to below the ceiling, well below the ceiling, you are then to, and you have the fire extinguisher, and you know the methodology to use the fire extinguisher, this is where you now make an attempt to extinguish the fire. Once those flames are below that level, you have a fighting chance, DV. If not, we are asking you to flee with your family. Do not hesitate. Do not go back for anything inside the property. Do not go back for car keys. Do not go back for money. Do not go back for any valuables, jewelry. Leave with your life and your loved ones. I cannot stress that enough, Davy. Davy, it is not the first time that we've experienced certain losses, members of the public, where persons have gone back into the fire. I'm not saying that that is the mechanism in this case, but we've seen it happen in many other cases where persons go in search of a pet. They go in search of another.
That was my next question, you know.
They go in search of car keys.
That was my next question, you know. I mean, we're running on behind the pumpek. We're looking for the parrot. And, you know, in doing so,
all
we run, you know, looking for, as I say, looking for the car keys and all them things, you know.
Right. So David, what helps you with that? Mm. What helps you to avoid that, what we call a knee-jerk reaction, is practice. When you develop an evacuation plan for your home and for your family, and you practice and you communicate that plan with everybody, and you practice, it could be a two-bedroom house, it could be a three-bedroom, it could be an upstairs and downstairs. You still need to practice periodically. And I say to people, practice quarterly. I use this with in my home as well, Davy. I trained my daughter when she was very, very small. She's much bigger now. And I told her, I taught my daughter, once you hear your daddy shout out, fire, 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 it means that I am not joking. It is serious. Mm. If you hear the smoke alarm, you respond to that as well. Our normal reaction sometimes with a fire, DV, is a reaction of, I wonder what's going on there, boy. I wonder if this thing malfunctioned. No. You do not determine whether it's malfunction or if it's a false alarm at that time. At that time, you are to respond as though it's the real thing.
Mm.
And so my daughter knows that there is a back door and there is a front door. She knows the location of the keys, which is low enough so that she can reach it, but the bandit cannot get to it. That key is the only key that is placed there at that specific location. Listen to me carefully.
Hmm. Are you there, sir? Hello? Apparently we're having some... Oh, you're muted. I think your line is muted, Rogers. If you're hearing me, you'll have to unmute your mic. All right, so that's Jude Rogers. He's talking to us via Zoom at this time. Jude, if you're...
Right. There is our muster point, and she's to wait there and never return into the building for her parents. That is the approach that you have to take.
All right, Jude, what happened?
You train your children so often. Go ahead.
What happened is that you went mute just now, so... We missed the part when we got up to when you said you train your daughter and you say fire, fire, fire.
Davy, I'm not here.
Yeah, we haven't. Yeah. Right, that's where we got you from. So we didn't hear the rest of what your advice was.
Davy?
Yeah, I'm hearing you.
Right, okay. Right, so that is the method that you want to utilize. Once you are aware that there's a fire, you raise an alarm for your family members to hear. So the first thing that you need to do once you discover fire, Davy, raise the alarm. Shout out from the top of your lungs, fire, fire, fire. Make sure that everybody knows that this is not a game. And the only way you can do that is by practicing it with a seriousness and with a certain approach that your children will know that mommy and daddy are very serious about this. This is not a game. This is our lives we are talking about here.
I like
you
it.
Then.
Go ahead, go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you then.
Right, so then when you raise the alarm now, someone has to dial 990. We know the number for the fire service is 990. Place the call on your way out, Davy. If it is that your cell phone is in close proximity, make that call to the fire service. Many a times when we have the issue, nobody makes a call to the fire service. But we made that call to the fire service as we are moving. So these things are happening simultaneously. You give pertinent information to the officers about the type, nature of the call, the location of the call, and of course, the where you are located, and they will respond accordingly based on the resources that are available to the fire service, DV. I'm putting a disclaimer in one time. When you and your family hears the alarm, you leave the building immediately, leave your home using the safest and nearest exit to you. And you are walking briskly, do not run. You may trip, you may fall, you may cause others to become injured. So walk briskly, you're still going to reach on time. Get to your muster point and conduct a roll call, not a head count. Do not count heads. Let each family member answer to their name. So that way you have a 100% assuredness that all members of your family have arrived at your muster point. And that is the methodology. If you have, Davy, the opportunity and the training and the knowledge and the know-how, and the fire has not reached the ceiling, and you are capable of utilizing the fire extinguisher, I will give you the pointers now as to how to utilize your fire extinguisher safely. We have an acronym called PASS, P-A-S-S. And I stick a little T in between the P and the A, and I'm going to tell you what the T stands for just now. So P, pull the pin. There's a safety pin on your fire extinguisher. Pull out the pin. Pull out that pin, and you will now be able to activate your fire extinguisher. T, you hold the nozzle, and you squeeze down on your discharge lever, and you give a quick test. So T stands for test. Test your fire extinguisher before you go closer to the flames. Because sometimes we have these fire extinguishers put down for more than 2 years without even servicing it. That is a no-no. You must service your extinguisher at least once per year. Take it to the safety companies who do all the servicing. Make them check the powder. Make sure that everything is working. The gauge is in the green zone. The gauge is in the green zone. The needle on the gauge must show that the medium is full. It cannot be half empty. It cannot be halfway. It will not work. Aim the nozzle at the base of what is burning. Fire is a combustion process, ladies and gentlemen. So it is not the flames that is the byproduct. It is what is burning below the flames is what you want to tackle. And you squeeze the discharge lever. That is the first S. And then last S stands for sweep. So you sweep your nozzle from side to side, evenly dispersing your extinguishing medium. That is the proper way to utilize a fire extinguisher. Always keep your exit at your back, so that if you do not overcome the fire, you can simply keep your eyes on the fire and retreat through your back or front door or your alternative exit. That is how you tackle a fire in your home. I'm sure we have a lot of callers who may want to get some sort of information.
No, well, I was
themselves and their family.
I was reserving the calls for the next hour, because we're going to be going to the news in a little bit. You know, so I really wanted to give you
an opportunity. Not a problem. Go right ahead.
I really wanted to give you an opportunity to talk to them and let them know, you know, what are the dangers and what needs to be done. Because we never thought about the flames reaching the roof, the ceiling of the house. I would think that, you know, it could overcome you. But I didn't know to think that the ceiling is now compromised. And if it comes down and topples on you, you perish nonetheless. So
that's correct. So, and the thing is, you will not know when your roof has reached the stage of collapse. Again, this is something we do a lot of training to determine, Davy, right? So, all right. So, ladies and gentlemen, the construction of your home is also very critical. The burglar proofing in your home is critical. The materials that you place in your home, your curtain, your doors, the type of material determines how quickly your home will burn in a fire scenario. I want to make a clarion call. All persons who have homes that have a wooden roof with a wooden ceiling, that is your traditional homes, you are high risk for the potential of a fire. I want to repeat that. If your home has a wooden roof, wooden ceiling, the wooden parts of your home causes the roof to be susceptible to fire. Persons who have switched over to the I-beams and now have gypsum type ceiling. Notice I didn't say anything about PVC ceiling, eh? I said gypsum ceiling. Gypsum ceiling together with a steel roof presents a fire retardant.
Mm-hmm.
It will slow the process of burning down, giving you valuable minutes or seconds to escape. Not so with a wooden roof, Davey. Not so with a wooden ceiling. You have a matter of 2 to 3 minutes to get out of that house. You do not have an excess amount of time. So I'm asking members of the public to take these factors into consideration. Bear these factors in mind. Think about what you are doing. And if it is today, I have a change in the mentality and a culture change where members say, you know what? I can't take this thing for granted. Fire Officer Rogers told me about this. He has been on the radio with Davey Monday after Monday, and he has pointed out the fact that the statistics have proven that we have a minimum of 2 house fires daily. Every day in this country, based on the statistics, it has proven that somewhere there's going to be a fire somewhere today. Not every fire will cause a total destruction of the property. Not every fire will cause a death of someone. But it still occurs. So we have to be mindful and take cognizance of that.
I listen to you.
So, Davey,
go ahead.
From today, I am suggesting to you, if you or any member of your family do not own a fire extinguisher, I am making that recommendation right now. To make it your business to purchase at least one for your home, I am recommending a 10-pound, that is a 5 kg, if you want to convert it to metric. 10-pound dry chemical powder, DCP fire extinguisher. They have a nickname for it, they call it the ABC fire extinguisher. And that is because of the amount of classes of fire that it deals with. Class A, Class B, and Class C. That is the recommendation for your home based on the types of material that you have in your home. In addition to that, Davey, we can take it up a notch. If you were to place a smoke detector in each bedroom while you are asleep, the smoke detector will quickly detect any sign, the slightest sign of smoke. The smoke detector will detect that and make a noise that will assuredly awake you and your family members, giving you a valuable head start to either extinguish and evacuate or evacuate altogether your home. That is the fighting edge that we require for members of the Trinidad and Tobago.
All right.
Because all right, maybe the sad reality of it is that we're going to have fires. That's the sad reality. Go ahead. I know we're coming up for
Yeah, things. Jude, hold on a minute. We just a few seconds on the upswing to the hour 5 o'clock. I like to tell people it like this, 59 minutes past 4, but it's literally 30 seconds away or so from the news. So stick around. Fire on You will continue right after this. Welcome back to the Overdrive here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Dave in your company alongside with Jude Rogers from the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Services. Of course, we are this time. We can invite your calls in to 627-3223. 625-2257, and you can also send us a WhatsApp to 306-1065. Now, Jude, somebody sent me a message a few moments ago, and they sought to blame the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Services along with, you know, GOTT, stating where the fire services take a while to reach, the ambulance didn't come in time, and whatever. But they were asking this question, is there any legal action that can be taken by families of victims in matters like these?
No. That's a very, very... Let me just make sure. So the person is asking if there is negligence on the part of the fire service or something of that nature. By, of course, anybody can bring whatever action, they can also seek their legal advice.
But
you have to look at the whole dynamics of what is taking place. to be able to determine that factor. So I wouldn't want to delve too much into that, Davy. But I mean, if it is felt that we are culpable in some form or fashion, we'll have to provide the evidence to show. Remember, we have freedom of information. We have freedom of information. We can provide the times we receive calls. We can provide information on the location of our appliances and all these other factors. And what I wanted the callers in Trinidad and Tobago to know, and members and citizens of the Trinidad and Tobago public, the fire service has a code and a standard of operation when it comes to responding to calls. This is drilled into us when we train, when you are inducted into the fire service. We have set response times when we receive a call, when there's an appliance in station. Listen to me very carefully, because I know that there's a lot of what happens in these situations. There's a lot of blame game taking place, Davy. But the fact of the matter is, people have lost their lives. The message has to go out there to members of the public as to how you can avoid losing your life in the very first place. And so there is a responsibility on the part of members of the public. There is a responsibility on the part of the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service. And there are responsibilities that lay across the board for those who have it within their purview to provide what is necessary. And so what we need to do is to look at what we can do as individuals to protect ourselves.
All right.
I'm sure you would have recognized. Yeah, go ahead.
I have a call on the line here for you, if you would like to take it.
Sure, no problem. Go right ahead.
Good afternoon.
A plan is gone. With all external staircases, a two-story building, does the fire brigade and fire services have involvement in that?
Could you repeat that question? I'm getting it in brief.
A house plan is drawn. It's approved by the relevant authorities without any external staircases. What can the fire services do in the event of a fire?
This is a two-story house or a three-story house? What?
Sorry, three-story, whatever. All right.
Okay.
A two-story house.
All right.
With no external staircases.
Okay. All right. What he's asking is...
Nicola, that's a very, very, very good question. I got the gist of it.
All right.
Let me go straight to the point.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, again, I just alluded to the fact that the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service has been partnering with the Tongan Country Division and alongside the Trinidad and Tobago Bureau of Standards to enact small building codes or to implement the small building codes so that certain requirements must be adhered to. And so one of the requirements is that you must have two ways in and out of your building. Now, if a building is on the ground floor, that is as simple as having two doorways that are on opposite planes of the building, right? So you can't have the two doors to the front. That's not what we mean when we say you have to have two exits. Similarly, if a building is a two-story building, what we call a two-story is a first floor and a ground floor, Davy. That's what the caller means. You cannot only have one stairwell to exit the building. He's asking if you have one internal stairs, if that should be sufficing, and if the fire service has an input in that. The answer to that is yes. Those plans should come to the fire service, and the fire service will make the necessary recommendations. Okay? So, caller, yes, we have some purview. We do have some say where that is concerned. And house plans have been coming to the fire service. They have been, because it's written on the Tongan Country approval document for their development, that the chief fire officer has to grant his approval for your property to be able to get what is considered to be a final certificate.
So
I hope that answers the question.
So you're saying now that once a person has a plot of land and they want to build on it, Tongan Country is just one aspect of the area, but it has to meet fire services approval as well.
And it also has to go to the Ministry of Health. There are a number of agencies that would have a say in how you prepare your property.
Wow.
That is once people are following the laws of the land. There are many instances where citizens build as they feel and they do not seek the approval of the authorities. When you do that, you run the risk of building, and that building you can be asked to break that property and to either readjust or reconstruct the property to meet the specifications. So you should not be trying to do that. You should always seek the guidance and follow the laws. But again, we know that in Trinidad, we have persons who would try to circumvent that.
Indeed,
so I think the caller is alluding to that fact.
All right.
All right?
All right, Wind Chimes, once again, good afternoon. Welcome back to Safety Monday.
I hear you loud and clear. But then, if your building is constructed contrary to regulations, why is a building completion certificate issued by the relevant authority as the building have it completed and conform with the requirements?
All right, he's saying if the building is not, why are they issuing it? But I believe if the building was built, they wouldn't issue a certificate if the relevant authorities did not have their say. And I mean, how recent though was this enforced, Officer Jude, if you have any insight on that? Was this something that was always on the docket, or is this something that recently came up?
Again, it has always been on the law books. And within recent times, we have been working towards ensuring that it is enforced and that those plans come to us. But David, let me just paint a quick picture so that the caller can understand how something like that could happen. You have situations where persons have to go to the mortgage companies to apply for a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Once that is being done, think about it very carefully. If you have to apply to the banks or to TTMF or to any of those organizations, the stipulations for you to receive that money to build that building would be that you meet all the statutory requirements.
Indeed so.
Those structures more than likely will meet all of the requirements as stipulated by Tongan and Country and also by the Fire Service and the Ministry of Health. It is those persons who build without having to go to the mortgage companies and to the banks, and you build sometime out of pocket. Those are the places, those are the homes, those are the type of structures that circumvent the law and would run themselves into difficulty.
And
I hope the caller understands where I'm coming from.
I want to second what you just said and agree with you, because it's like purchasing a vehicle. Now, when you go to buy a car, a person will tell you what they want for the vehicle. They say, I want $10,000, I want $100,000 for this car. The car isn't value that. But if you go to the bank to purchase that car, credit union, a financial institution who has to lend you money towards the purchase of that car, they would send you to have that car evaluated. And that car must come up with a valuation. And if that valuation is to the tune of what the seller is asking for, then you're in luck. So if the seller wants 100K, but the car is valued at 70, the bank will then tell you, you have to pay 20% of the 70 to the seller, plus whatever else they're asking, because we only lending you this amount. So it's up. So it's the same, and that is the same thing you were saying.
When you are under the scrutiny.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's 10 times
worse.
When
you are under the scrutiny of an authority that has to obey the laws of Trinidad and Tobago, mm-hmm. people follow the rules.
Yes.
And this is the culture that, David, what I'm trying to get at is that we have a culture of trying to slip out and to slip away and to get around and to do everything except what may be the right thing for our loved ones and for our families.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, this forum that we have here is to find answers and to get solutions. This is not to blame anybody.
Exactly.
My job here today is to bring up a solution
and awareness
to members of the public that they can find a way to protect themselves and their families. So, this afternoon.
All right. Let me see. We have a text message here.
Hello?
Yeah, you're hearing me? Jude?
Loud and clear. Loud and clear, nice. Baby, go ahead.
So we have our apartments have no fire escapes. So are contractors to blame? How do they get their building passed? That's a good question.
Right. So again, those buildings that fall under the purview where the plans are submitted to the fire service, I'm guaranteeing you that those buildings will meet the specifications. All right? Again, think about it again and let's be very logical about it. And we want to move into also, after I answer this part, I want to move into some of the tips that will help persons to be able to evacuate safely and stuff like that. But
yes.
Let me just say, you need to look at the origin of how a person gets their financing to make the building structure.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, that's where you would see where the person would follow the rules and regulations.
Mm-hmm.
Members of the public, if you are building a home, and you submit that plan to the Tongan Country, you could also, they would direct you to the fire service. I'm pretty certain of it, that because we all sit on the same committee, we have discussions, and we are we're making sure that we're meeting the specifications of the legislation that governs Trinidad and Tobago where construction of property and buildings are concerned. All right? So those anomalies, can be addressed and they can be picked up on. But by and large, the majority of persons constructing homes do so in accordance with the law. If it is that someone is building a structure and you realize that the structure, to you, the layman, it may seem as though it does not meet the requirement, you can report that to the relevant agencies. You can bring it to the attention of the fire service in the form of a complaint. We are obligated also to respond and investigate complaints by members of the public. Fair enough?
Fair enough. Hello, good afternoon.
Hear this one. Residential areas in the Virgin Thomas, you have a proliferation of people setting up chemical factories or plants in the area. How does the fire service react with that? If it's within the distances of houses, in between houses, residential area, chemical plants.
Mm-hmm. David, that's a very, very good observation on the part of the caller. Caller, you are very astute in what you're saying, and I will tell you why. You see, a lot of people are setting up business out of their backyard, out of their homes, but there are certain types of businesses that cannot be run from a residential property. You cannot do certain types of industrial type activity within the confines of a community-based living. And this is why the government have set up a number of what we call e-tech or business parks, where you can actually obtain a lot or more for rental purposes. You may even obtain a building where you can rent for the purpose of business. There are certain types of businesses involving high risk use of chemicals, the storage of explosives and so forth, or fireworks. Those type of properties are never ever going to be located or should not be located within that. If it is that you, members of the public, if it is you see a neighbor or whoever it may be, I don't want you to feel like you're telling on somebody, but if your neighbor is mixing chemicals that are or flammable liquids and they are running that type of business out of their home, please report it to the fire service. Please report it to the fire prevention department within the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service. Again, we are obligated by law to respond to members of the public's complaints. Put your complaint in writing, submit it and email it to us at fpadmin@gov.tt, right? So you can send it there, or you can approach any of the headquarters. You have a headquarters station in Scarborough. You have one on Ryson Road, Port of Spain. You have a fire headquarters in the central division, which is the Shogunas Fire Station. And of course, you have in the southern division, the Munripo Fire Station. Please submit your complaints in writing, and we are obligated to respond. Caller, those situations should not occur, and they are happening illegally.
All right, let's take another call. Hello, good afternoon.
They should not occur, but they are occurring, and it's there in the presence of the fire people to see exactly what is happening. And we will have many letters to the fire, so no response. What do we do?
So we are asking that we put these complaints in writing, and like I said, that it, once you put it in writing, it carries some weight. Legally now, we've got no complaint. You have to respond, and again, you will see an action being taken for this. So, caller, if you are aware of this taking place right now, I'm asking that you make that necessary complaint in writing or make a report to the fire service. And again, you see, I say in writing, not word of mouth, in writing. So that the paper trail, you will have a follow-up taking place.
So then, let me ask you something, Jude. With a two-story property where there is no external fire staircase, as the caller asked, the staircase, because most of these, let's face it, most of these modern-day homes are built in such a manner where the staircase is internal. Does the fire services see that as a hazard towards a person being able to escape?
Okay, David, so what we're saying is that it may not necessarily be illegal, it may not necessarily be a building requirement to have that external stair there. Once that person, and we look at the fact that the building may have, let's say, the level of occupancy of the building, it is not a hotel, it's not designed for public use. So therefore, we are again maintaining two alternative ways out of the building, and also those buildings may have some form of, I don't know, fire protection or smoke detection or whatever the case may be. So again, DV, submit the plans and the fire service will give the requirements. We follow an international guideline, which is the National Fire Protection Association, NFPA codes that we follow. It's not what we feel, but it is based on an international standard that is verifiable in Europe as well as in the United States of America.
Well, I want to ask you, I want to ask you very, very forthright on this matter here. This two-story dwelling that has an internal staircase, in some instances, we have homes with three stories of home, but it's for private use. It's a home, all right? But the way the house is designed, it has three levels. I'm asking you, is it that when this plan is submitted to fire services, but, I mean, they have the fire prevent, the smoke detectors, they have all those things installed, they would even have, in some instances, have sprinklers, fire sprinklers installed in the house as well. Because I've seen a home with that. I thought it was a commercial building, but when I walked in, it was a home. But they have fire sprinklers. But they're all staircases within the home. It's nothing external. But it's a three-level home.
So your forthright question is that there is no whether you want to know whether or not it meets with the requirements of the
That's what I want to know. Could the fire services deny a person that?
In certain instances, we would treat with that. It all depends on where your exit. But you asked me to go into nitty-gritty here, right?
Just a little bit.
Exit or your discharge. Where your exits are, your discharge.
Okay.
Normally, once you up your final exit has to pass through a kitchen, that is a no-no. So they will find that the fire service would then treat with that and would ask for an alternative exit, which is in the opposite direction of the kitchen.
So once your final exit,
or we may ask for additional fire suppression in the kitchen area. In the form of sprinklers. So we want a system that will make it safe for you to exit through. Many homes are being built now and the kitchen is the area of the final discharge or the entry point.
These are
some of the challenges that you will face, but again, we have the solutions to them and we also make the necessary recommendations, and where the risk is increased, the requirement and the suppression systems are also increased. So, caller, you may have situations where you have that one internal stairwell, but the fire protection for that building will also be heightened because of those design, inherent design of the building. Fair enough, David?
Fair enough. I have a call on the line. Hello, good afternoon.
But then that's the case, because it would have been recommended that when a completion certificate is supposed to be issued, that the fire services get involved in that process. Because these people are the local health authority. They are passing plans either with her and done with none of you think you can. So you don't blame the people alone, you blame the authorities. If the authorities ensure that the rules and regulations are maintained or followed, then the thing will be better. You won't have so much worries.
Well, caller, I understand where you're coming from, and I want to say that this is a partnership, yeah? It is a partnership. So you're right to some extent. The authorities will bear their responsibility and we share the responsibility, because here it is again, our home is a prized asset. We all take our effort to put that and the joy, pride and joy to build a home. David, you know when a man build a home, he feel accomplished. He feel as though he has achieved something. No one will want to build a home really and truly and have that home consumed by a fire and to lose all that they work so hard for. So, caller, I agree with you. And I am not saying that the fire service does not bear responsibility when it comes to inspections. We follow the rules. We follow the regulations where that is concerned. What you are talking about is compliance. And to persons who may not have come to us, you want us to bring them into compliance. And that requires us having to go and do spot checks and all of those different types of things. And there is a room and place for all of that as well. Because most of the certificates that we give to certain type of structures, for instance, to bars, to nightclubs and places where people would frequent, those have a renewable certificate. So it's not a one and done situation. It's a situation where you have to continue to show that you are meeting the specification as time goes by. Fair enough, caller?
Fair enough. All right. I mean, as we wrap things up, one of the things I want to say thank you to, one of the things I want to highlight again that you mentioned on the program, and I think we should revisit it inside residential safety, well, Safety Mondays, as we deal with residential safety and fires today, is the fact that it is very important to have an exit strategy, as you said, and to practice
an evacuation
an
plan.
Evacuation plan.
Must be had. So the acronym is plan, prepare, practice your escape.
Plan, prepare.
Plan your evacuation routes. Plan that out with your family. Know two ways out of the building. Always have two ways out of your building. Prepare, meaning you put in things in place for your burglar proof.
Your keys, documents.
Safely. Don't put all the keys on
one big bunch. Now, I want you to reiterate that. People have a tendency. People have
separated in a way not able to access it.
People have a tendency, they want to have all the keys on one big bunch for whatever reason. Reiterate the safety mechanisms where that is concerned again. Why you shouldn't do it like that.
In the event of a fire, normally a fire occurs in the dead of night, you are there struggling to find your bunch of keys. Not only that, you're struggling to find the correct key on the 16 keys that it have on the bunch. And so you are, by the burglar-proof, wasting valuable seconds. Remember, smoke is the greatest killer in a fire. And many persons, Davey, have only made it to the burglar-proofing and they were unable to succumb right there to the smoke, sometimes with a bunch of keys in hand. It's a very, very sad situation, you know, Davey. It is very, very sad. Let me tell you this, we take no pleasure in having to report to members of the public dead by fires. The fire service takes no pleasure in having to deal with these situations, but we know that it is a responsibility and something that we need to educate the public on. So your best form of evacuation, your best form of response, is to know and to practice your evacuation plan. Once you do that, you give yourself the best and your family the best fighting chance to evacuate on time and to save your life. Forget about the building. If the building's on fire, remember the life of your family and family members. Do not re-enter that building for any whatsoever reason. Please don't ever go back into a building once it's on fire.
So
do not take that chance. You may not get that opportunity to come out alive. I can give you names and examples, but I'm not allowed to do that, and I wouldn't do that because some of these situations are so sensitive because people have lost loved ones. Let us have a heart and let us keep this in mind. And I want you to know, on behalf of the Chief Fire Officer, Officer Arnold Bristow, I always want to thank our officers, our senior officers, because they bear heavy responsibility for the nation as well. And I want you to know that your Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service is ready and willing to serve. We are ready and willing to serve, and we pride ourselves in the job that we do. I want members of the public to be aware. It is very difficult when we are sometimes unable to respond. But I know we continue to work on these issues, and I expect to see a better response, not only from the fire service, but also from members of the public. Let's meet each other halfway, and let's be our own brother's keeper.
I want to say thank you very much, Jude, for sharing with us for the last hour some of the fire prevention tactics that one can employ. And I love the fact that you talk about the evacuation practice that each home should engulf. They should embrace it. Also, this bunch of keys business, like he's a tonky. You're not a tonky. Put your keys in separate bunches, and so that in the event of an emergency
place them in a place where the bandit cannot get them.
Bandit can't get them.
Family will not be confused
as to
now,
what
there
key.
Are also keyless burglar-proofing. There are keyless burglar-proofing.
Yes.
But I want to talk about that in a separate program. More than likely, I will bring the person who invented the keyless burglar proof in Trinidad and Tobago. There's a gentleman from Sandy Grand Nation, and he has a design employed in their homes. Keyless, fire safe, burglar proofing. That is a thing that exists.
Thank you very much, Jude Rogers. Always a pleasure having you inside on Safety Mondays here on Freedom 106.5 FM. Thank you again, and all the best to you during the week. We will pick up on this conversation again next week. Thank you.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.